Will you pray with me? God, thank you for bringing us all here today in this beautiful sunshine. I just pray that you will be with us this hour, that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that we will go away from this place knowing just a little bit more about you and how much you love us. Amen.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Are you going to come up, Thomas? Hi, Abigail. Got some more coming up? Well, that's fine. Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Did you hear what Rhiannon said when she welcomed everybody this morning? You'd better have been listening, Jacob. She said, on this beautiful, sunny day. Did anybody feel really good when they looked out at the sun this morning? Yeah, it felt good, didn't it? And what does that mean? When we're seeing more sun. Mm-hmm. Good for you. That's right. Yeah, the spring is coming. And springtime makes us feel good. But also we sang a song that makes us feel good. What was the song we were just singing? We were doing actions. It started like this. Lord, I, remember what the rest was? Lift your name on high. And you know, God sends such beautiful days and makes us feel so good. Do we remember to lift his name on high and tell other people that we're so thankful to God for the beautiful weather? So this week, I want you, when you have a sunny day, to remember that God gave us that sunny day. And to remember in the way that you treat people and that you speak to people, you're showing them that God gave it to us and that you really thank him for it. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you that we can come to church and Sunday school and worship you and learn about you. We ask that you'll be with each one of us this week and help us to share our love for you with other people. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I just think that it's very appropriate before we proceed to acknowledge the fact that it is St. Patrick's Day today. And for those of you who have Irish blood in you or Irish heritage, happy day to you. I've been informed that there are only three kinds of people in the world. There are those who are Irish, there are those who wish they were Irish, and there are those who have no ambition. Father God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks for this new season upon us. We ask you to bless these, our tithes and offerings, which we return to you. We ask you to bless them and multiply them, and may we use them diligently and prudently for your kingdom work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
A reading from the Word of God, Psalm 126, verses 1 to 6. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. To our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tares will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Praise be to God.
Let us pray. Father God, we do give you thanks for this day. And we give you thanks for this season of spring that will soon be upon us. The winter will be past. Lord, as we come to the end of this, the March break, we pray a blessing on those who are still traveling and are heading home. We ask for traveling mercies. We ask for safety. Lord, and for those that have been away, we just pray they've had a restful, relaxing time. Then they come back rejuvenated and refreshed. Lord, we pray for all of our children who are returning to school tomorrow. Lord, we pray that they will be enthusiastic, rested, and ready for the rest of the term. We pray for our teachers and our administrators, Lord, as they too return to their responsibilities in the school system. Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, we pray for our church community. And this week, particularly, Lord, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic Church upon the election of their new Pope, Pope Francis. Lord, we pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon him. Lord, may he lead that church from your truth that's found in Scripture alone. Lord, we pray that your word will be exalted above human traditions and above human wisdom and human thinking. And we pray that he will teach salvation through Christ alone and not through any works of man. Lord, we lift up to you our local churches and their pastors. Today, Lord, we pray for Pastor Russ Warhead and Grace Church here in Newmarket. Lord, surround them with your love. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. May they be witnesses to one another in their homes and in their communities. In our Baptist family, Lord, we lift up to you Pastor Daniel Posok and the congregation of First Hungarian Baptist Church in Toronto. Lord, again we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon them. May they be a light, the salt and light in their community. And Lord, we pray for our congregation, for the leaders of Christian Baptist Church. May we lead in unity of spirit. May we catch the vision for what you are doing in our church and in our lives and in our community. Lord, may we see you at work and join you in your work as you invite us to be part of kingdom building here in this community. And Lord, now each one of us, in the quietness of our own hearts, we lift up our prayers to you. Lord, we lift up to you now those in our congregation who have had surgery recently and are recovering. Lord, we give you thanks for your hand of healing upon so many in our church family. Lord, and we give you thanks that you continue to do your healing work in us and through us. Lord, hear our prayers this morning, for we pray them in the name of Jesus. I think it's fair to say that most of us like new things. We're all pleased when we get something new. We look forward to birthdays and Christmas when new things are given to us as gifts. Who doesn't like a new car or a new house? We like new things. And we're all too ready to cast off the old and to take on something new. And throughout Scripture, we read of God doing just that, who ends an old thing and begins a new thing. And our text today tells of this very specifically, and we're in Isaiah 43, and I'll be reading from verses 16 to 21. So Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of the Lord. And the word is, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Old things and new things is a recurring theme in Scripture. God is about renewal. He's about bringing about change in individuals' lives and in the lives of nations. He's about doing away with the old when it stops working, and he's about bringing in the new. In this text, the Lord is described in detail in case the hearers didn't understand which Lord was speaking. They need to be reminded that this is the God who parted the Red Sea, who drew out the entire Egyptian army and their horses and their chariots and their reinforcements, and brought the whole lot of them to annihilation in the Red Sea. This is who's speaking. They needed to be reminded that this is the God who's speaking to them. The prophet makes sure that the people understand exactly who is talking. And this Lord is speaking to them, saying, now forget the past. Forget the past. Forget all that is behind them, because I'm about to do a new thing. And this pattern of doing away with the old and bringing a new thing repeats itself throughout the biblical record. The end of the old way and the birth of the new. Way back in the early part of the scripture, they set up a tent in Shiloh, and this was the tent of meeting. This is where the priests came to speak and where God came to speak to them. It became the center of their religious practice in Israel. Shiloh means that which is the Lord's. And it was in Shiloh that Samuel heard God speak. Samuel the prophet, who anointed David. He heard God speak in Shiloh, and God revealed his plans to Samuel. But in Shiloh, Eli the high priest and his two sons were corrupt. They allowed gross sins to take place in the temple, or in the tent, in the community. And the whole city of Shiloh became corrupt. And eventually the Lord's voice was not heard anymore in Shiloh. And God spoke to Samuel very specifically, telling him, I'm going to bring this to an end. I'm done with this. It's going to be over. And God ended it with a battle that saw the Ark of the Covenant captured and taken away, and the deaths of Eli and his two sons. And the story ends tragically, even worse tragically, with Eli's daughter-in-law giving birth to a son and dying after, shortly after giving birth. But before she died, she named her son Ichabod, which means the glory of God has departed. God raised up this nation, brought them through the waters, set them up. They began on a good note, but over time, they became corrupt. They turned away from the laws of God, and they did their own thing. And the glory of God departed from them. What was once a new thing that God had done had now ended. Shiloh had become useless to God and was no more and is no more. And God moves on. He was starting something new. They had become hardened to the truth. Now, for sure, they continued in their religious practices, observing all the rituals and all the outer aspects of their faith, but their hearts were far from God. It was an empty shell that looked like the real thing, but it was not the real thing. All their works were the works of the flesh, and the priesthood, the leaders, were beyond redemption. It was a wicked system, and the Lord did away with it completely. And it was a couple of hundred years later that God brought in a new thing. And a temple was built in Jerusalem. And that building became known as the Lord's house. And for a season again, God spoke to his people from the temple. The temple became the center of religious practice. The temple became the place of prayer. God's words was preached, and the people made their sacrifices according to God's commandment. And God manifested his presence there. So much so that on one occasion, it records in Second Chronicles, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple because the glory of the Lord filled it. Such was the presence of God in that temple in Jerusalem that the priests were unable to enter. It was filled with the glory of God. And under King Solomon, while the temple was there, while the people were worshiping God, and they were doing all the right things, the nation enjoyed peace and prosperity. But being humans, that cycle continued, and they too fell into dissipation, following false gods, and their religion became corrupted. And God brought that season to a close too, with the invasion of the Babylonians, destruction of the temple, and the people going off into exile. Something new was started. Over time, the people corrupted it, and God did away with it. And he was going to begin something new. There's a little verse. Sometimes we skip over verses in scripture and we miss the importance of it. But back in Judges, it says, in those days, this is before Kings, it says, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. How true is that today? We don't have a king. We don't acknowledge God as king and Lord, and each one does his own thing. But God is a God of renewal. He is a God of new things. He will put away the old, and he will bring in the new. He starts new things to draw people to him. And he wants to do a new thing in each and every one of us. Now, some of you may be of an age where you think, what new thing can God do in me? Well, are you willing to have God do a new thing in you? The question, are you willing? When the people are spirit-filled and seeking him, He in return blesses them. But when God's people degenerate and become indistinguishable from the surrounding culture, he brings them to an end. In all of these cases throughout Scripture, when God brought something to an end, it's because they had mixed so much with the pagan culture around them that it was an end. It was done. God could no longer use them, and he brought it to an end. We have to ask this question: did this pattern change in the New Testament? But we have to stop and say, hang on, why are we calling it the New Testament? Because we had an Old Testament, and God was bringing in something new. Covenant. The old wasn't working. Humans trying to live under law was not going to work. He had tried it over and over again with the nation. It hadn't worked, so God was bringing in something new. John the Baptist, although he's in the New Testament, he's really like the last Old Testament prophet. He called on the people to repent, for the kingdom of God is near. This is new. Kingdom of God being near is new. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and he challenged the people. He said the axe is already at the root of the tree. God's bringing the old system to an end. Any tree that was found not producing fruit would be cut down. And I think it's fair to say that Jesus, throughout his ministry, was battling the old system. He came up against opposition from the old system all the time. The Pharisees wouldn't accept him. He wouldn't mix in with them. Old and new. Jesus spoke to this throughout his ministry, about renewal. He told them that the temple would be destroyed. And it was in 70 AD. The old temple system was brought to an end. It doesn't exist anymore. It's not there. It's gone. Temple worship is gone. Temple sacrifices have gone. The Jewish system has gone. He talked about his blood being the new covenant. Use that word in the communion service. This is the cup of the new covenant. New deal, the new thing that God has brought in. And the new thing that God has brought in, and it's the season we're still living in, is the season of grace. Not the old law that the Jews lived by, but a season of grace. It's as if God has tried over the centuries all kinds of systems to get people to align themselves with him, but they kept falling into sin. So the new system, God is saying, okay, I'm done with sin. Sin's no longer the issue. I'll take care of sin on the cross. Now, if you'll just come to me in faith, we can be reconciled and we can have a relationship. The cross is the new thing that God has brought in. Our text today says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Over and over again, God wants to do a new thing. He says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Here's the challenge for us. What is the new thing that God wants to do in me? You. Or do we want to carry on our lives the same old way that we've always been doing it? It takes some serious, consecrated, dedicated time alone with the Lord to ask him that question. Okay, I may be 60, 70, 80 years old or more. But God still wants to do a new thing in you. You know it, and I know it. There are old things in our lives that need gotten rid of, and God wants to put a new thing in our hearts. The question is, are we willing? You remember the story that Jesus told. He said, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. The old wineskins will burst, and the wineskin and the wine are lost. God wants to pour new wine into each one of us. But if we're still the same old person, we can't take it. We have to be new. We have to be renewed. We have to ready ourselves to receive the new thing that God wants to do in our lives. And when Nicodemus came to speak to Jesus, he used that expression that we're all very familiar with. He said, you must be born again. Interesting that that expression is so commonplace in the Christian church today, yet it was only said once, Scripture. It was only said once by Jesus to one other person. But it's stuck. Because the image there is that we've got to become, we've got to be renewed. We've got to be born again so that God can pour the new wine, the new spirit into each one of us. We've got to let go of the past. No matter what you've done in the past, God's not interested. Taking care of that at the cross. And he wants you to leave it at the cross so he can pour the new spirit into you. He wants us all to restart. He wants us to let go of our old ways and embrace whatever God wants to do in your heart and in your life. And that applies to us as individuals, but it also applies to us as a body, as a congregation. To let go of the old things, to let go of the past, and allow God to show us a new thing. To allow God to show us a new thing that he wants us to perceive and he wants us to follow. The interesting thing about all those stories in Scripture is God didn't show anybody what the new thing was till they began to follow him. Doesn't reveal. When he took the Hebrews to the edge of the Jordan, he said, go across. He didn't lay out for them exactly what it was going to be like on the other side. Because it was tough. There were battles. There was land to be gained. Community to be built. Families to be built. It was hard work. But he called them to go and do that new thing. In Revelation 21:5, it says, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I am making everything. Are you ready for a new thing? Can you get excited about a new thing, even though we don't know what it is? We don't know what it is in our individual lives. We don't know what it is in our church life, congregational life. But God wants to do a new thing. He wants to pour out a fresh spirit to these old wines. So he wants us to be renewed first. He wants us all to be born again, again. To receive his spirit afresh and anew. And catch the vision for what God wants to do in us individually and collectively. So when a new thing comes up, don't hold on to the old thing. Don't hold on to the past. Look forward to what God is doing in our life. Let's pray. Lord, do a new thing here. Do a new thing in each one of us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Remove all that is unclean and unholy in us. Remove any corruption in us. Draw us back to times of prayer, times of Bible study, times of holiness. Lord, do not reject us, as those stories in the Old Testament testify that you do destroy and remove things that have become corrupt. Lord, we ask that you do not do that, and instead you renew each one of us, that you pour out your Spirit on each one of us. You renew our hearts. Lord, show us those things in our lives, in our individual lives, in our church life, Lord, that is corrupt, that is not of your will. Make us your holy people. Make us again the temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to do a new thing here in us. Each one of us individually, in our homes, in our families, Lord, and do a new thing in us as your people at this church. Lord, your scripture says you are doing a new thing. Lord, open our eyes to see it, we pray. Give us the hearts, courage to pursue it. Hear our prayer this morning, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. God starts doing something new, it can be very exciting. That's a personal testimony. He starts doing something new in your life. Very exciting. Very exciting. We'll close our time together this morning with singing of hymn number 354, I Cannot Tell, and it's to a very familiar tune. Go in peace today and enjoy this beautiful day. But go knowing that God wants to do a new thing in your heart. And he wants to do a new thing in our community. Go in peace.